father and son, their faces wan from their miserable years in the Leitzmannstadt ghetto, were filled with forebodings. They looked at me questioningly. I took them across the courtyard, which at this hour of the day was filled with sunlight. On our way to the dissecting room, I reassured them with a few well-chosen words. Luckily, there were no corpses on the dissecting table. It would have indeed been a horrible sight for them to come upon. To spare them, I decided not to conduct the examination in the austere dissecting room, which reeked with the odor of formaldehyde, but in the pleasant, well-lighted study hall. From our conversation, I learned that the father had been a respected citizen of Leitzmannstadt, a wholesaler in cloth. During the years of peace between wars, he had often taken his son with him on his business trips to Vienna to have him examined and treated by the most famous specialists. I first examined the father in detail, omitting nothing. The deviation of his spinal column was the result of retarded rickets. In spite of a most thorough examination, I discovered no symptom of any other illness. I tried to console him by saying that he would probably be sent to a work camp. Before proceeding to the examination of the boy, I conversed with him at some length. He had a pleasant face, an intelligent look, but his morale was badly shaken. Trembling with fear, he related in an expressionless voice the sad, painful, sometimes terrible events which had marked his 5 years in the ghetto. His mother, a frail and sensitive creature, had not been able to long endure the ordeal which had befallen her. She had become melancholic and depressed. For weeks on end, she had eaten almost nothing, so that her son and husband might have a little more food. A true wife and Jewish mother, who had loved her own to the point of madness. She had died a martyr during the first year of her life in the ghetto. So it was that they had lived in the ghetto, the father without his wife, the son without his mother. And my interjection. In the novel, Mother, when Pavel is asked if bones will be broken in jail, he replies, "They break your soul. That hurts worse when they lay their filthy hands on your soul." Alice Miller devoted a considerable amount of time to this matter of soul murder. What happens when the ability to care about your brothers and sisters is not permitted to exist, as we see with the SS, and with ourselves too? And as we see with the SS, for whom those who still have souls that live were deeply provoking. States want exclusive hold on our allegiance, and souls caught by them cannot live. And if what we in the U.S. are told is correct, look at what has become of Jews living as Israeli citizens. Can there really be no broad opposition to the atrocities committed against the Palestinians? But how could there be, with no corner of our minds to call our own, with our thoughts given to us?